Yes, but then when the electronic music wasn't working, then I appeared.
Yes, yes, that's where you're lucky.
Yeah.
Like, you know that, Bert. She was sick of the electronic scene in Berlin years ago.
I remember it then.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's quite an experience. Plus, you were like an electronic genius as well, because I remember you telling the story that you were trained in how to create
instruments. That was all in that place, that same place.
Wow. Wow.
What'd you say? What'd you just say?
That was all in that same place.
Yeah, you were in an advanced hippie cult. You're almost like in a hippie commune, a smart commune. And
No, really, it's amazing how, like Kion says, everything is like the frequency.
Yeah.
What does he say? Closeness or similarity?
Yes.
Vibrational.
Proximity.
Proximity.
Yeah.
Because it's like how did you are in Hawaii, I'm in Berlin, and Bert is in Switzerland, and we talk. It's really
right.
Like that.
Yeah.
But this is really how it works. That.
Well, I can see why Ion told you to report to Bob. You know, that's obvious that he would see what you're... Because he knew about you because he knew you were listening. For several years, and he had a private session, so he knew about you. And he would tune into Ionauts all the time and figure out what would be useful for them.
Yes, and this is, it is really like that there is this vibrational proximity.
Yeah.
And it makes you come close to some people. There are millions of people in the world, but then... You like he says, knowledge finds you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't look for the things; these things find you.
Yes.
Well, Bert did a similar trip himself. I mean, he got into Tai Chi and all that, or whatever, the Chi world.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really strange how it led up to how I found Bob, Ion, and Carolyn, because I did a trip to Peru, like 10-day trip. And we went to Peru, and then we ended up Easter Island. And when I went on Easter Island, I mean, I started hearing voices. I mean, I always heard voices when I was a child. But there was just like, you know, I'm like, I'm talking to you and Roxana, Bob and Roxana. I mean, the voices were telling me things and everything. And then when I came back to Switzerland, that was in June of 2011, and then in... I think it was like in October, I just started searching the internet, and then I found James with Project Camelot, and then I tuned into his show, and I actually started tuning into Cashflow the day after Ion left. I think it was December 1st, 2011.
Yes. Yeah, that was the first day of no Ion. So you found us the day after the last day of Ion. Go ahead.
No, and I dove into the archive, and right then it was like I had the convenience at work. I just dove in and started listening to the first archive of Cashflow all the way up until Ion came back.
So did you get mad that you missed him?
No, I mean I was disappointed, but you know something said, you know, you're always into the you can go into the archive, but one really mysterious thing tying it back to my art. Was that in 2013, in September 2013, I was getting ready to enroll in a Tai Chi master program. It was pretty expensive, but I just wanted to correspond and take this course. And during the same time, I was listening to Ion all the time, and I kept hearing Ion make recommendations about getting the Revelation series. So I said, okay. And then something said, you know, if you get the Revelation series, the angels will help you with your art.
Right.
So I dove into the Revelation series, and, you know, my engagements with Ion have actually, you know, helped me turn the corner as far as, you know, martial arts, Tai Chi, and all that. It's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, you call it your art. You said it helped you in your art. What's your art?
Yeah, Well, my art is because I was trained with Wing Chun, which is a art similar to Tai Chi, but it's very personalized because it's framed off the human body. But now after engaging ion, it's self-expression. I mean, you could call it Tai Chi, I could call it Bert, but it's a self-expression. Right. It's not really confined to a name, but after engaging ion and all the things that they told me about Chi and forget about muscle and everything like that. I mean, it's really not even thinking. I'm not even thinking like that, actually. It's really fun to listen to the archives.
It helped you understand your past expression, and then you lost interest in it and then just try to figure out what Ion was saying.
Exactly. And now when I go back, which is what I'm doing now, I feel like...
Wait a minute. What are you saying, Roxy?
Like, we were just being distracted with something in the meantime.
Yeah.
Like, we thought, well, I'm into electronic music, and he was into Tai Chi, but...
And you got into early morning yoga.
Waiting for Ion.
Yeah, you were waiting for Ion. You got into early morning yoga. Meditation.
Yes, I can be very extreme. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. Like, they say you can reach some higher state if you meditate and fast. And
you're going to do it.
And I was, like, for 2 years, really, like, disciplined, waking up at 4 and doing meditation and breathing. And I was vegan. And
now, what was this? Is this with Victor?
Yeah.
Yeah, in that period. Already. So Bert was into this mystical bent a little bit.
Yes.
And
did a lot of occult reading as well. I did a lot of occult reading. In fact, when I discovered you all, I was like on the fourth book in Madame Velasquez's book. Those four books. I don't even remember the name, but I was almost finishing her books because I was reading a lot of occult. But that's the thing which we're talking about. Yes, but what we're talking about, I thought about this week, is because, you know, it's fun to listen to Ion and your engagements, but then also to go into the LaRouche because, you know, if you turn the LaRouche, the Palmerston Zoo, to someone off the street, they say that's crazy, but it's actually believable because then you overlay what Ion's revealed for Bob and Carolyn, you know, I mean, parallel worlds.
Yeah.
It makes sense, but that's the thing that I thought about is that a lot of people are into yoga and, you know, martial arts, chi and everything, but this is the completion because all you have to do is engage what you're interested in and find it through Ion as far as, you know, engaging them so you complete that. But then you also have a substance you could take that really takes over the whole physical thing so you don't have to even worry about that. And that is the edge. And just keep engaging this environment that you have, but also the archives. You have archives to listen to, but you can also turn it into something you're reading, like the four quadrants, and then your work, Bob. And it's really the completion of yoga. For me, it's the completion of yoga, Tai Chi, or any type of mystical work that someone is engaged to. This is the new, because this is the new environment, whereas when yoga and Tai Chi, those were developed, it was really a slower time, maybe before electricity came in and when electricity, but now everything is like supersonic, that this is the only solution that's going to help someone if they're interested to the frequency.
Did you ever hear Ion say, I heard it somewheres, that yoga happened, you know, 3000 BC or something, and after a few years... They said it didn't work, but hustlers kept it going.
Yeah.
Well, you know, all these type of spiritual, religious, in the age, whatever.
Yeah.
It's business. It's really people can make money and
it's social welfare. It's a welfare system for those cultures.
The Babylonians, the Venetians, the Vatican. Everybody says, well,
there's always people who can't do the daily grind. There's people who can't do the daily grind, so they go to a nice, comfortable monastery.
Yeah.
No, not comfortable, but it's a dropout place. So the societies have to have those kind of institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Old kind of welfare. So the many people found us through Project Avalon, like you did, or through Michael Brown, the recent people. A lot of the early INS found us through Project Avalon, through James's interview with them, 2009 or so. And then the middle phase is the Michael Brown people. Now people, did you see the map of that Ed posted of the international listeners, the different countries who listen to New Kosher?
For example, I go to the page all the time, and I think Germany is not even listed.
No, you look at that. You didn't see the post he did the other day. He gives you the countries. Let me just bring that up.
Wow. Ukraine.
You didn't see that?
I'm looking at it now. Yes, I'm looking at it now. Wow.
Is it on the first page?
Yes, it's on the first page. Just scroll down a little. Maybe a quarter of the way. Wow.
Right, so here's what it says. United States, 245 page views. Ukraine, 153. Italy, 25. Brazil, 22. United Kingdom, 14. Sweden, 14. Netherlands, 12. Singapore, 11. South Korea, 10. Canada, 9. You're right. No Germany.
So, I'm in a parallel world for what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. How come it doesn't register you? Yeah. Good point.
Maybe it's because it's only one person. That's why Switzerland and Germany are on there. It's only two people, one in each country. Maybe that's
we
it.
We don't count.
Right. Wow.
Greg says, way back, 1246, if I post right now, I'll just say Bob and see what time comes up. 1:12. So, Greg went to bed half an hour ago. Now, Kyle says, I took some LSD in college and went into a Catholic church, and all the people looked like sheep, so it freaked me out, and I left. Never went to church again until my wife got me to go, but it still didn't seem right. But I did get into the Bible for 10 straight years, then quit after I thought I knew its meaning. Yes, that's Kyle.
Yes, I suppose really the Bible and like the Torah, they're like technologies that are beyond the institution.
Yeah. Yeah. So Bert found us through. How long did you listen to Project Avalon and their sort of nutty stuff? What did you think of it?
I was really interested in the UFO, so I started listening to him, I think, in 2007. So for like 2007 to 2011. And they had a conference here in 2009, and I went to the conference, and they had Wilcock. And that's right around the 2009 is when I started to phase out, because I went to their conference, and it seemed really, you know, you go and you get to feel and hear and listen to people and be around them, and it just seemed to be a little hokey. David Wilcock there, and he was sort of like, you know, rock star, new age rock star thing, and you could see it and feel it, and that's when I started just phasing out, really.
There's a sleazy B-grade thrift store hand-me-down kind of quality to them.
Yeah. So it was
they're not vivacious people.
No. And it seemed like, at the end, it seemed cheesy, because at the end, I think it was Carrie Cassidy, she was asking people to donate to help her do her work. But all they were doing was just regurgitating the same, you know, information, and there was no proof, really, other than, you know, getting these supposedly top secret kooks coming out of the woodwork talking about stuff, but it was really no. But, you know, that's just fascination, and that was why it was perfect that Ian came around, because I was really, really bored with them, because it's like you're just saying the same stuff you said a year ago. There's really no proof.
Yeah, was a character like Bob Dean at there? Was Bob Dean at the conference?
Yes, Bob Dean. Yes, he was one of their like famous oldsters that, you know, because he claimed that this was really true and he had that experience that he had when he was in the, was he a sergeant major in the army somewhere in Europe, that he had that experience. Yeah, all that. But they never really had any proof.
That stuff was stale in the 1990s. Walter used to go around. He'd report back to me about, you know, his experience. He wasn't he thought it was largely infiltrated with military people trying to make people paranoid.
Yeah, it looks like that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what changes my images of UFOs. So Ion can see our bay here. You know, we're talking to Ion one night, and I've played it. And he says, okay, look out those clouds. And he starts describing these particular clouds over the water, and he describes them as they change shape. So Ion can see the clouds from, quote, Georgia, or maybe Ion's everywhere. But, you know, apparently it's coming through JW's body. And he describes the shifting of the clouds. And he says, those are UFOs that are watching the whales respond to the changes in the water that Ion was bringing forth. So I walk home from the beach every day, and I look out in the sky, and I know some of those clouds out there, as the sun's going down, are UFOs. That's a different way to look at UFOs than, you know, these vehicles or things that have lights. They can put on different natural forms. What do you think of that, Roxy? Yeah. Have you ever heard me talk about that?
No, but... Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Of course, they're not going to... I suppose the idea we have of the UFOs, like, they look like obsolete technology. Like, I have the impression they gave the Nazis some obsolete technology.
Mm, right.
That whatever they use is beyond, because, like, in Mexico, some people are... There are groups watching the sky all the time.
Yeah.
And they have like these of like portals of light.
Yeah.
And yeah, things should be more like energies or magnetic fields or stuff like that. It's not hardware.
Right.
They may have.
Well, they're shape shifting.
They don't even have the UFOs. They just have portals.
Right. Like, shape-shifting energies.
Yes.
Yes. That's real.
Like, you know, the scrolls are a big element of decoration in all the castles in La Loire.
Yeah.
And they have been copied in many places as decoration, but they're actually scrolls. And like in Fontainebleau, in the entrance, you have a... that from above looks like a keyhole.
Yeah.
And on the stairs you have these two snakes, like the Hermes Trismegistus staff with two snakes. Like Moses only has one staff with one snake.
Yes.
The Hermes has the two snakes. And they also have these scrolls as decoration. In the stairs, you have all these stuff. So, like, I have the impression that maybe these aristocratic families, they did have some scrolls with some secret information about the origins and the genetics and whatever.
Yeah.
And they were putting it really on their... castles under decoration, like they know this information. They put the
well. See, they're in the non-time zone. It's not past or future information.
Yes, and maybe all these castles and all these churches and all these monuments, like in Paris, they're all just marking portals or something, you know, places that they had to.
Hey, listen, I'm going to play something because I got to start playing it to fit it in. The first one is only 32 minutes, so maybe you'll be able to talk after it. So I'm playing two two sessions with Nelson, because the next one to play, he does half of it with on other issues. So he only does the formula for 32 minutes. Less than 32 minutes, but there's a couple of good items at the end that you'll be interested in that aren't related to the formula. So I want to play that, and then depending on what your schedule is, you'll stay around or not for the second one. So I'm playing two sequential Nelson situations.
Okay.
Yes, I just wanted to say there is this fairy tale movie called The Skin of the Donkey.
Yeah.
French Baudin with Catherine Deneuve.
Yeah.
And the king has a collection of poets from the future. And it was filmed in Chambord. So you have all these hints.
When was that done? Is that a recent?
In the 60s,
okay.
I think.
I just want to say Love Job. 70s. Love Job, checking in. That's nothing. You should be calling in, Love Job. You should be interacting. Not just, what's checking in? You listen. You get a fragment. That's nothing, Love Job. You've been delinquent for a year or two now. You're just not keeping up unless you're doing the listening to the private sessions. That so, Love Job, you've lost a lot of your demotion. You've been demoted, really badly.
But this also, like in the Jean Cocteau movie, this was another director. It was not Jean Cocteau, but Jean Cocteau also in the Beauty and the Beast has all these hints to the technology we have now.
Yes.
As a fairy tale.
Yes.
And it's also another castle.
Right.
In La Loire.
Yeah, we.
So that they're hinting to these people that have these parallel world portals in their castles, like in the Matrix movie, they also hint to them with the guy, what's the name, the Merovingian.
Yes. Yep.